Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another News and Focus program. It is Friday, January 4th, 2011. I'm looking at an article from LifeNews.com. Abortion effect, U.S. seeing slowest population growth since 1930. After almost 40 years of legalized abortions throughout the United States and longer in states that okayed abortion before Roe versus Wade, the U.S. population has been decimated to the point that the nation is seeing the lowest population growth since the 1930s. Abortion has destroyed not only one generation of Americans, but a second as well. People who should be boosting the fertility rate in their childbearing years now, who were victims of abortions in the 1970s and 80s, in total, more than 55 million Americans are being victimized by abortions, and millions more were never born because their parents were aborted. So the point here is that children who should have had children were now at the point where the children that were aborted would have been old enough to have children. We've been aborting babies that long. Bloomberg News has more on how the U.S. fertility rate is at historically low levels, though abortion is never mentioned as a cause, of course. The Census Bureau estimates that there will be 315.1 million people living in the country on New Year's Day, a 0.73% rise from last year's estimate, and 2.05% more than the most recent census count, April of 2010. So the number you want to remember when someone asks you how many people live in the United States, the answer is 315 million. 315 million. So bear that in mind, by the way. Let me just do a sidebar conversation here. Bear that in mind when you hear stuff like, the Congress just passed a bill giving $1 billion away, or any number of things. Remember that a billion is a thousand million. Remember that a billion is a thousand million. And so when the Congress passes a bill for, let's just say, the sake of discussion, $300 million, that's a dollar for every person alive in the United States. If they pass a bill for $1 billion, if they decide to spend $1 billion on something, that is $3.33, or about $3 per every person. So thus, if it's $6 billion, it's $18 per person, and you can see where we're going with this. This just helps you as a citizen get a sense of how much money is being indebted. And I say indebted because you do know that there is no money, that we are broke, that we're running on borrowed money as an economy. At the current pace, the nation's population will grow by 7.3% during the decade, the lowest level since the 7.25% increase recorded between 1930 and 1940, according to the data compiled by Bloomberg. The slow rate of growth during the first part of the decade indicates the U.S. continues to emerge slowly from the worst economic downturn since the 1930s. The nation's birth rate and immigration fell in the aftermath of the 2007-2009 recession. Between 2000 and 2010, the Census Bureau reported the nation's population grew by 9.7%. Bloomberg blames the economy but ignores how abortion has adversely affected the economy. Now, consider that. Bloomberg blames the economy but ignores how abortion has adversely affected the economy. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Social Security Administration, the Guttmacher Institute, and the National Center for Health Statistics, if abortion had never been illegalized in 1973, So we will be going upon, very soon, we'll be going upon the 40-year anniversary of Roe versus Wade, the year 2013. So the 40-year anniversary. So when we think about that, now, this means that people that were aborted in 1973 would be 40 years old. 40 years old. In a few more years, those people would actually be old enough to be grandparents, and we would be working on third generations. If abortion had never been legalized in 1973, more than 17 million people would be employed, resulting in an additional $4 billion from those workers, with $11 billion contributed to Medicare and $47 million contributed to Social Security. Although it is important to also reduce government spending, these added incomes would nevertheless help the country and thus the economy. It doesn't take a world-renowned economist to figure out that when you're decreasing the youth from abortion and with all the baby boomers retiring, Social Security is going to eventually run out if we continue with abortions and the amount of spending by the federal government. So let's all make sure that we're clear in the sermon audio listening audience. Less children are being born and people are living longer. Less children are being born and people are living longer. Now that just doesn't work. That just simply doesn't work if your intent is to allow people to retire at a young age. I think that those in my generation, I'm 47, those in my generation need to realize that we can just plan on working. Just plan on working. Work, work, work. That God's plan is not for us to retire at 62 and collect a paycheck from the government for the rest of our lives. That's not God's plan. And since we're ignoring God's plan on the abortion, it's not a surprise that we're struggling at the other end, where what should be happening, according to the Bible, is that families take care of families. That's God's plan. Let's make sure that everyone understands that. What we're struggling with right now is the fact that people are living longer than ever, and we're having less children than ever. That is a two-edged sword that cuts both ways. Two-edged sword that cuts both ways, and it is destroying our budget as a nation. And if something doesn't change, we're going to cease to be a nation. We're going to implode. It doesn't take a world-renowned economist to figure out that when you're decreasing the youth from abortion and with all the baby boomers retiring, Social Security is eventually going to run out if we continue with abortions and the amount of spending by the federal government. Even though Social Security cannot last forever with the amount of federal spending today, not having abortion would help Social Security last longer, assuming that the amount of federal spending is the same. So what we have to do, and I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it throughout 2013, is we must drastically cut spending and increase revenue. We must do two things simultaneously. In population studies, at least 2.1 children per household are needed to maintain stable population. The average number of children per household today is 2.0 in this country, which isn't even meeting the replacement level of 2.1 needed to maintain the population for future generations to come. The slow growth in the United States population seen in recent years is due to immigration and people living longer. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to let you listen to a YouTube video that you probably should watch, but you might have time to listen to it right now. And then if you find a separate period of time to watch it, you can see the graphs on it. Perhaps you've already seen it. It deals with the difference between the birth rate in the Muslim community and in America or in other non-Muslim nations. And I want you to remind yourself on what the message is there and how, at the present rate, there isn't a culture or a religion or a people within a religion that are having more children than the Muslims. And this is not good for us. And I'm referring to us as those that profess Christ as King. It's not good. We, as a Christian community, must have children. We must adopt children, and we must have biological children. We must do both. And this is my encouragement for us to remember the biblical mandate that we are to populate the world. We are to populate the world. So we should create a culture where having children is encouraged. Thanks for listening. Enjoy this the YouTube video. You're going to lose a little bit by just watching listening to the audio, but if you're peaked, you can easily find it on YouTube, and the link to it will be posted with this podcast. Have a great day.
According to research, in order for a culture to maintain itself for more than 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.11 children per family. With anything less, the culture will decline. Historically, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate. A rate of 1.3, impossible to reverse, because it would take 80 to 100 years to correct itself. And there is no economic model that can sustain a culture during that time. In other words, if two sets of parents each have one child, there are half as many children as parents. If those children have one child, then there are one-fourth as many grandchildren as grandparents. If only 1 million babies are born in 2006, it's hard to have 2 million adults enter the workforce in 2026. As the population shrinks, so does the culture. As of 2007, the fertility rate in France was 1.8, England 1.6, Greece 1.3, Germany 1.3, Italy 1.2, Spain 1.1. Across the entire European Union of 31 countries, the fertility is a mere 1.38. Historical research tells us these numbers are impossible to reverse. In a matter of years, Europe as we know it will cease to exist. Yet the population of Europe is not declining. Why? Immigration. Islamic immigration. Of all population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. France, 1.8 children per family. Muslims, 8.1. In southern France, traditionally one of the most populated church regions in the world, there are now more mosques than churches. 30% of children ages 20 and younger are Islamic. In the larger cities such as Nice, Marseille, and Paris, that number has grown to 45%. By 2027, 1 in 5 Frenchmen will be Muslim. In just 39 years, France will be an Islamic republic. In the last 30 years, the Muslim population of Great Britain rose from 82,000 to 2.5 million, a 30-fold increase. There are over 1,000 mosques, many of them former churches. In the Netherlands, 50% of all newborns are Muslim, and in only 15 years, half of the population of the Netherlands will be Muslim. In Russia, there are over 23 million Muslims. That's 1 out of 5 Russians. 40% of the entire Russian army will be Islamic in just a few short years. Currently in Belgium, 25% of the population and 50% of all newborns are Muslim. The government of Belgium has stated one-third of all European children will be born to Muslim families by 2025, just 17 years away. The German government, the first to talk about this publicly, recently released a statement saying, "The fall in the German population can no longer be stopped. Its downward spiral is no longer reversible. It will be a Muslim state by the year 2050. Muammar al-Gaddafi of Libya said, "There are signs that Allah will grant victory to Islam in Europe, without swords, without guns, without conquest. We don't need terrorists. We don't need homicide bombers. The 50-plus million Muslims in Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades." There are currently 52 million Muslims in Europe. The German government said that number is expected to double in the next 20 years to 104 million. Closer to home, the numbers tell a similar story. Right now, Canada's fertility rate is 1.6, nearly a full point below what is required to sustain a culture. And Islam is now the fastest growing religion. Between 2001 and 2006, Canada's population increased by 1.6 million, 1.2 of those immigration. In the United States, the current fertility rate of American citizens is 1.6. With the influx of the Latino nations, the rate increases to 2.11, the bare minimum required to sustain a culture. In 1970, there were 100,000 Muslims in America. Today, there are over 9 million. The world is changing. It's time to wake up. 3 years ago, a meeting of 24 Islamic organizations was held in Chicago. The transcripts of that meeting showed in detail their plans to evangelize America through journalism, politics, education, and more. They said, "We must prepare ourselves for the reality that in 30 years, there will be 50 million Muslims living in America. The world that we live in is not the world in which our children and grandchildren will live." The Catholic Church recently reported that Islam has just surpassed their membership numbers. Some studies show that at Islam's current rate of growth, in 5 to 7 years, it will be the dominant religion of the world. As believers, we call upon you to join the effort to share the gospel message with the changing world. This is a call to action.